Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have several friends who were adopted as children. Some of them don't know very much about their lives before adoption, except perhaps that they came from a certain part of the country or a different country altogether. Some of them knew their birth parent during their growing up years. Others have had no idea who or where that person is and where they are now. And of course, some have taken up the task of searching out the person or persons who gave them birth. No matter the circumstances, people who are adopted often have taken to celebrating an additional special day in their year. Each day it comes around. Like a birthday, but different. Adopted children and adults get to celebrate what they call Gotcha Day. It's the day of the year when their adoptive parents signed on the dotted line and claimed this child as their own. It's the day when the adoption was made official in the eyes of the law, but also when the titles Mom and Dad and My Child could be used without any sort of contingency. Singer-songwriter Stephen Curtis Chapman has a song about adoption, and in this song he describes not only the longing of a child to be in a place where they are wanted and loved, but also the longing of the parent to bring that child into their arms, into their family. The song goes like this: "And somewhere while you were sleeping, someone else is dreaming too, counting down the days until they hold you close and say, 'I love you.' And like the rain that falls into the sea, in a moment, what has been is lost in what will be when love takes you in." The part of the story from Exodus that we heard read today is Israel's Gotcha Day. It's the part of the story when God officially says to these people who have been brought out of slavery and put on a path toward a promised land of milk and honey, who have been adopted by God, when God officially says, "I have been counting down the days until I can hold you close and say, 'I love you.' Today, love takes you in." Treasured possession, priestly kingdom, holy nation. These are the words that God uses to describe young Israel. Like a new mom and dad might say, "Sweet baby girl," or "Precious little boy, come and make your home with me. There is love, belonging, purpose, and much joy to be found as we journey together." Whether the birthday of a child, the day they come home with you and sleep under the same roof, or a gotcha day, there is reason to celebrate. And yet not every day that follows is to be remembered and celebrated equally. There are and will be days when you want to send that child back, when you don't know if your love is going to run out. I can remember my mother using my middle name. And if ever my mother used my middle name, I knew that something was wrong. More specifically, I knew that my mother had found out about something that I already knew that I had done wrong. Like the time she found the matchbooks that had been taken out of the kitchen cupboard and used to create little bonfires behind the shed in the backyard. Or the time when I cut my sister's hair just because I was angry that I had been made to stay at home while my friends were playing outside. These are not the times that one thinks about when love takes you in. And yet it is exactly why families have rules and why people make promises of fair living with one another when they agree to share their lives with one another. God is no different. If you obey my voice, if you keep my commandments, God says, then you shall belong to me and I to you. Perhaps this makes God seem judgmental. Perhaps we complain to God, your rules are too mean. I don't like your decision to make me do this or that. Are we any different than any child who has ever lived? But let us not lose sight of the fact that it is God who has chosen us. The Israelites, as they are rescued from slavery in Egypt, and us, as we are rescued from sin and death through the waters of baptism. God has claimed us. God has given us a home. God has said, I gotcha. And nothing will ever break that bond of love. Which is why Jesus so clearly grieves for the people around him who seem to not know that they belong, that they are chosen and claimed by the God who loves them. Jesus describes them as sheep without a shepherd. Today he might say, children who do not know yet that they've been adopted. And in his grief, Jesus teaches his disciples to be the hands and the feet and the voices of God, to be the shepherds who seek out the lost sheep, to claim those souls who are lost, and on behalf of God, give them a gotcha day. Who are the people in our world today who are sheep without a shepherd? It's not so easy to determine. We might say that the poor are those who are sheep without a shepherd, and to the extent that the poor need community, often that they are neglected of, that can be true. And yet I've met many who are poor in the wealth of this world, who yet celebrate every day the blessings that come from their mutual love of Jesus. Perhaps the grieving, sometimes they seem like sheep without a shepherd. And again, to the extent that the grieving are sometimes pushed off in our society and left to grieve alone, that can be true. And yet, many who grieve can also draw great strength in knowing that God holds them close and gives them comfort. The disabled, the less intelligent, the people who act kind of strange, although we really don't know why. These are sheep without a shepherd, right? Not always. And actually not usually. Most people who are differently abled than us are quite confident in the lives that they've been given from God. And if you think that it's people who don't have the same religion as you and me, who are not followers of Jesus, that these are sheep without a shepherd, well, you might just notice that Jesus doesn't seem to be that concerned with those who experience God through different traditions. He tells his disciples not to go outside their borders when they go to proclaim the good news to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not other religions that Jesus is worried about. Who are those that Jesus says are sheep without a shepherd? The answer, I think, lies in not categorizing others, as we are so apt to do, but rather in looking into our own lives and considering who are the people that we have ignored. Who are the people who we have chosen not to listen to? Who are the people in our world that we consider less worthy of our time and energy, and so live without the hope and the trust that they matter to God? I said a few weeks ago, and I say again today, that the protests that we've seen over the past several weeks are a result of a failure to listen. These are protests against systemic racism and injustice within our communal structures of setting up rules and regulations that we all claim to live by. And these protests seek to demand a reckoning of the promise of equality in our society. This collective voice that has risen up from the streets and cities and towns and villages across our country are a result of a failure to listen. Especially that those of us who, because of our skin color or wealth or job or ancestry, enjoy a favored status in our world, have turned a deaf ear to those in our world whom we deem less welcome to sit at the table of manifest destiny. We claim to be a society that lives under the rule of law and of mutual respect for one another. We claim to be a people that values above all else that all people are created equal. And yet we have broken those promises. We have not kept the rules for ourselves in the same way that we have enforced them for others. This is what Jesus calls sheep without a shepherd. That shepherding ourselves has resulted in a lack of justice, a deafness toward suffering, and a blindness when we are called to love one another. When God claimed Israel all those years ago in the Sinai desert, when God said, "You are my chosen people," God knew that the road ahead was going to be met with difficulties. It didn't take long for Israel, in fact, to expose its tendency towards selfishness and superiority over others. And so God said, if you keep my covenant. Parents know that the day will come when their precious son cuts the hair of their little sister or plays with matches behind the shed in the backyard. And so parents of adopted children and biological ones too, say, if you don't break the rules. And in our world today, our brothers and sisters are saying that the crimes of racism and disregard for the lives of black and brown people and others are real. And so they say, if you stand for what you say you believe in. Let us be shepherds to one another. Let us welcome each other into arms of grace and love. Let us adopt one another as brothers and sisters and claim those gotcha celebrations with one another. Let us be the people of God whom God once proclaimed a holy nation. Let us hold up for one another the covenant of justice and equality. Let us shepherd between ourselves in such a way that holds equal value between the black and the white sheep. The goal is not perfection. God doesn't ask us to be perfect. Rather, God asks us to be faithful. Faithful to one another as we move forward from our gotcha day and into the complicated mess of life that is our relationship with one another in God's family. And when we fail, and when we are harassed and helpless, let us look to the one shepherd who can guide us toward and into the promised land together. Amen.